And now, back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, the passionate show that helps you take control of you and your family's health. That is, it teaches you what you can do to stay well and to get well if you're not there. And one of the great people we've had on before is Dr. Robin Chutkan. Dr. Chutkan is author of The Bloat Cure. She's previously been author of Gut Bliss and The Microbiome Solution. She was wonderful in our interview we had back probably a couple years ago now on The Microbiome Solution, and I've been negligent in not having her back sooner, but she's written a new book called The Bloat Cure, and I actually love the way this book is outlined. So it is 101 things alphabetically arranged to tell you what could be causing bloating and what you can specifically do about it. So it is meant, I guess, for you to look through it. In fact, let's ask Dr. Chutkan how she intends for people to use it. Robin, thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Faculty member. You are a faculty member at Georgetown University Medical School. She got her MD from Columbia, and she also founded the Center for Digestive Center for Women. How should people use this book?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me back on. It's a pleasure to be with you again. I really wanted to empower people to be a little bit of a medical detective when it comes to their bloating so they can figure out precisely what's causing it. So it is, as you described, divided into A to Z, 101 things, and you can flip through it. Some of the things are food-related. They're food intolerances and allergies, things like lactose intolerance and gluten intolerance and so on. There are even examples of healthy foods like cruciferous vegetables that can cause bloating. And then there's some more serious signs, too. They're sort of red flag signs for bloating for things that could mean ovarian cancer or colon cancer, as well as some more benign things like air swallowing that many people do and they're unaware of. So it really goes from A to Z, and each one is a page with the problem and the solution, and it's really meant as a guide to help you discover and fix the cause of your bloating.
So we have a question, and by the way, people can call in 844-305-7800, 844-305-7800, or ask questions. Commonly they do on the email line at youdocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. We have a question from, I think it's Rachel, who says, I notice that I have bloating every evening after I eat bread and when I go to sleep, but bread helps take care of what I think is acid reflux, and it does it in a safer way for me. And I don't get bloating when I eat bread at other times. Why do I get it at night, and what can I do? Is it just I've got to eat smaller portions?
Well, Rachel, thanks for sharing your problem with me. And there are a couple things that could be going on. Number one, you still could be a little gluten intolerant. As you know, gluten is a protein that's found in wheat, rye, and barley, so it's in most breads. Although, as you say, you've already done some medical sleuthing and figured out that it doesn't happen when you eat bread at other times. So I think what's going on is that you're overfilling the stomach. A lot of people don't realize that the stomach actually has a bedtime. Its contractility is tied to the light-dark cycle, what we call the circadian rhythm. And once the sun sets, the stomach barely contracts. So if that's when you're eating a fair amount of bread to ease your acid reflux, you're probably overfilling your stomach, and that's why you're getting bloated. So I would think about having an earlier dinner. I talk about having breakfast like a queen, lunch like a princess, and dinner like a pauper. So having more of your calories earlier in the day, it will help not only your bloating but also your acid reflux, because, again, the stomach is more active during the day. So I want you to fill up a little earlier in the day, a bigger breakfast, bigger lunch, and think about a lighter, earlier dinner. And that way, you will avoid having to have the bread to help the reflux, and you'll avoid the bloat, ideally. And maybe just a couple crackers instead of bread at night.
And I suppose that the next question on that is it possible to... So I guess I've got a ton of questions based on what you said. So I didn't realize this. What is the hormonal process, or what's the process that keeps the stomach from emptying, from contracting? In other words, describe how the stomach gets rid of food for the audience and puts it through the intestine, and then what is it that is slowing the stomach at night, and is this really the reason we should be eating bigger breakfasts, medium-sized lunch, and really tiny dinners? And what do you do for people who like to go out to a bar afterwards?
Well, they're all great questions. So the process of digestion actually begins even before the food hits the mouth. When we think about food, we see food, we smell food, we start to salivate, and that saliva has digestive enzymes in it. So even before the food hits our digestive tract, which actually begins in the mouth, we're sort of getting ready. So we chew our food, the digestive enzymes and saliva start to pre-digest it, goes down the esophagus into the first part of the main digestive organ, the stomach, and then the stomach, more digestive enzymes start to break the food down. Now, the stomach has a bunch of different receptors that can sense the chemical composition of food. The stomach is able to figure out exactly how much protein, how much fat, how much carbohydrate. And of those three nutrients, fat really tends to be the hardest to digest. So one set of receptors in the stomach can sense if you've had a high-fat meal, it slows down the emptying of the stomach through something called a gastric pacemaker, which is a little set of nerves in the stomach that control how quickly it contracts. And the same thing, cortisol levels that are tied to the light-dark cycle can also affect the gastric pacemaker and the contractility of the stomach. So the worst combination is eating late at night and eating a high-fat meal, like a cheeseburger late at night. That's a killer. That's certainly going to cause reflux, even in people who don't normally have reflux, or a couple slices of cheese pizza at night. That can do it, too. So the stomach has these receptors. Again, it can sense the chemical composition of the food and cortisol levels, which are secreted in a pattern that, again, goes along with the circadian rhythm, can affect that. Once the stomach gets churned up into small pieces in the stomach, the food gets churned up into small pieces in the stomach and then travels into the first part of the small intestine, the duodenum, and there are more enzymes released there from the gallbladder and the pancreas and so on. A lot of the nutrient absorption happens in the small intestine, in the duodenum, the jejunum, and the ileum. And the function of the large intestine or the colon is really to extract fluid from the products of digestion back into the bloodstream so that you end up with a formed stool at the end. So all along this digestive superhighway, things are very specialized in terms of enzymes that are secreted, different nutrients that are absorbed, and so on. And it all works in concert so that ideally we eat and then we have a healthy bowel movement sometime around the next morning. That's how it's supposed to work when everything's going well. But again, when you're eating late at night, often not enough time for everything to get through, you end up with bloating because things are slower. You sort of have a sleepy stomach at night, a sleepy digestive system in general. You're bloated. And then you also trigger reflux. Reflux in most people is triggered not by an overproduction of acid, but by inappropriate relaxation of that lower esophageal sphincter, the little valve between the esophagus and the stomach that holds everything in after you swallow. And if you overfill your stomach, which is about the size of your fist, what happens is you overpower that valve and it pops open, and acid as well as undigested food pop up into the esophagus, and they're very irritating. So most of us, the vast majority of us, can control acid reflux without any medication, but just by eating smaller meals earlier in the evening.
So bloating, is bloating caused, or the symptom of bloating that people feel, is that air in the gut, or is it undigested food in the gut, or what is that bloating?
The definition of bloating is, when most people think of it, it's excess air, but it can also be products of digestion, and it can be a combination. Because, of course, when the food is digested, the products of digestion include hydrogen and methane gas and so on. But most people think of bloating as excess air.
When we come back, another set of questions. One from Donna on eating low-fat or fat-free ice cream and why you feel bloated after that. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. Stay well. And remember, The Bloat Cure is a great book. We'll be right back.
more of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Presented by the Radio MD Network.
Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, a passionate show that helps you take control of you and your family's health so you can live at the highest quality of life for the longest time. The Bloat Cure is who we are talking to now with Robin Chutkan. Robin is the author of Gut Bliss and her website. She's a physician, by the way, trained at Columbia, who practices at Georgetown in Washington, D.C., as well as, I'll let you, her tell you, the women's, she's actually the founder of the Digestive Center for Women in Washington, D.C. She's also an avid snowboarder. I'm not going to talk to her about that or her marathon running because we just don't have time, because the questions are so good and they're coming in so fast. Donna asks, and by the way, what I learned about in the first little segment from a question that Rachel asked was that the gut has, or the stomach has, its own sleep-wake cycle and doesn't like to contract a lot at night when the sun goes down. So you want, that's one of the reasons why you want to eat bigger meals in the morning and at lunchtime the way the Europeans do, and smaller at dinner. It's also a reason why, and she suggested, instead of someone who has a problem with acid reflux, the smaller meals at dinner time should help, as well as substituting some whole wheat crackers in place of the whole wheat bread she ate at night. The second thing we're going to learn about is this question from Donna, which is, she has low-fat and fat-free ice cream. I assume it's at night, but I don't know that. But she says she feels bloated every time after eating low-fat or fat-free ice cream. What's the cause of that? Is there something in low-fat or fat-free ice cream that gives her bloating?
Absolutely. So, Donna, the first thing that you should be thinking about is whether you might be lactose intolerant, because the lactose in milk is not dependent on how much fat is in there, whether it's skim or low-fat or even fat-free. So if you're lactose intolerant, any sort of ice cream could be giving you bloating.
Oh, I forgot to tell you, Robin, I forgot to tell you, she says, but not with regular ice cream.
Not with regular ice cream. Well, there you have it. So it doesn't seem like it's lactose intolerance. But a couple things. I'm not a huge fan of modifying food from its original form. So ice cream, by definition, is a high-fat food. When you start to change it, you take out the fat, you have to put something else in. When they take the fat out of dairy, they often put in things like oxidized cholesterol and other fillers so that it still has substance to it and it still has the right consistency. So there may be something that they're putting in there as a filler to help it maintain a good consistency that's bothering you. Another thing to think about is whether the ice cream you're eating also has artificial sweeteners in it, because artificial sweeteners don't get absorbed in the small intestine, so they don't contribute calories. But what happens is they end up in the large intestine where they get fermented by gut bacteria and they produce a lot of gas and bloating. So if your low-fat ice cream also has artificial sweeteners in it, that could absolutely be the reason that it's causing you some bloat. I would take a good look at the ingredients, and I probably, if the regular ice cream doesn't bother you, I'd probably go back to that, but just eat a little less of it. No, your
now,
body's really the best,
one from,
gives you the best feedback about what you tolerate.
Now, this is an interesting one because it relates to something I often do and I say on the show that people can do, is if they want a dessert at dinner, I tell them to have and this is a guy who wrote in, Gregory, and so thank you, Gregory, because most of our questions come from women, it turns out. But Gregory writes, he said, I do what you do, Dr. Mike, and have a little chocolate, that is those little finesse chocolate 22-calorie eggs or discs, and he said, I have a glass of red wine in the evening. If I setting myself up for acid reflux the way Dr. Chutkan commented, by eating late at night and alcohol late at night?
Gregory, it sounds like you're being very moderate in your habits, which I commend you for. So one glass of red wine and a small piece of dark chocolate, I think you'll tolerate that very well. But, you know, the proof is really in the pudding. If you're having that at night and you're not having any uncomfortable symptoms, you're not having any heartburn, you're not bloated, you don't feel uncomfortable, then I think you're fine. And certainly a small piece of dark chocolate is better than a big bowl of ice cream, right? And one glass of red wine, I think, is fine. So if you're tolerating it, I say enjoy.
And Gail writes a general question. She said, I have bloating almost constantly. What are the worst things I have to worry about, and how do I get rid of, how do I use your book to help me?
I would go really from page one, starting with one of the first ones on there, which I think is the air swallowing, the aerophagia. It might be the acid blockers, actually. I would go through that, but I want to also raise a little bit of a red flag. Persistent bloating can be a sign of more ominous things, and I'm sure this is not the case with you, but things like ovarian cancer can cause persistent bloating. Bloating that is due to food usually ebbs and flows. Most people wake up in the morning, they're pretty flat, and as the day progresses, they start to expand. They feel like the Michelin man or woman by the end of the day. So if you're bloated all the time, that might be a good time to check in with your physician and have them do some testing. Just make sure there's not something in the abdomen or pelvis, like a mass or lesion, that's causing things to protrude, if it really is persistent and somewhat constant bloating.
And what would they, what tests would that physician run?
Well, I think the first test, if we're thinking about something like ovarian cancer, would be an ultrasound of the abdomen and pelvis. An ultrasound is a very non-invasive test. It doesn't use any radiation. It just uses sound waves. So an ultrasound would be a good imaging test. And then just some general blood work to make sure there's no anemia, which can be a sign of blood loss, to make sure the liver enzymes are normal, that there's no evidence of anything being spread to the liver. So a basic history and physical with maybe an ultrasound and some blood work. If they're more concerned, then maybe a more invasive imaging test like a CAT scan might be indicated. But I think even just a good pelvic exam can go a long way, too.
So the book is called The Bloat Cure, The Bloat Cure, 101 Natural Solutions for Real and Lasting Relief by Robin Chutkan, C-H-U-T-K-A-N. Her website is gutbliss.com. Is that right?
That's absolutely right.
Robin?
That's absolutely gutbliss.com. Right.
Gutbliss.com. And Rachel, who is the person who asked the first question, is the one who's getting a book. I didn't even know there was a book, but I got a copy from our producer saying there's an extra book for the best question. I think Rachel's was the best question. So I probably should give it to Gregory, since we don't have guys ask questions very often. But this one goes to Rachel. So thank you, Gregory. Thank you, Donna, for questions. Robin Chutkan, The Bloat Cure, a wonderful book. Robin, thank you very much. We're going to have you on more often than every couple of years. And this is a wonderful book. It goes through the 101 things. Stay tuned. We'll be back for the second hour right after these important messages and the news.